Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Football and Grits. I am your host, David Ubben, and it's Monday. And that means, like every Monday, The Athletic's national writer, Andy Staples, joining me to look back on the weekend that was in the SEC. And there was a lot. Andy, we'll get into plenty of Bama, Georgia in this show. Any spare thoughts coming off of the weekend that don't have to do with the Tide or Bulldogs?
Well, the Tennessee situation is interesting. I read your story on the quarterback situation there. I heard something on the broadcast that kind of piqued my interest. And, you know, Tom Hart and Cole Kubelik and Jordan Rogers do a very good job. They were talking to Jeremy Pruitt about their quarterback situation. And, you know, one of the questions I think a lot of people have had is they seem very reluctant to go away from Jarrett Garantano to give one of the younger guys a chance. And from what Jordan was saying, it was because Jeremy Pruitt says we put a lot on Jarrett Garantano. We asked him to do a lot, and I believe the phrase was we asked him to play quarterback, which means, you know, he's got to set protections, he's got to do a lot of different things at the line of scrimmage. It's not, hey, I'm going to look at the sideline and they're going to tell me what to do. To which I say, that's great, doesn't get you any extra points. So why are you doing that? You know, that's what I don't understand. You've got a situation where it's not working for you, where you have basically given yourself no out because you can't put a younger guy in and expect to run the offense. That's on the coaches to figure out how to simplify the offense. So if you need – because what if Jarrett Garantano got hurt? You'd still have to put a younger guy in. Figure out how to simplify things so that you can move quarterbacks around if you need to. And look, Jim Chaney is not incapable of playing a young quarterback. Last I checked, he had a true freshman quarterback who won the SEC and took them to the national championship game in 2017. So it's not like they can't figure things out for a true freshman or for a younger guy who hasn't played. That part really bugs me when I see a situation like yesterday, because Garantano, after the two pick sixes, his confidence was just shattered. They brought him back in, but they may as well have not have.
Yeah, one thing I touched on, I don't know if there's any Ted Lasso fans out there, but I guess the opposite
Ted Lasso fan.
I guess the opposite of a goldfish is an elephant, and Jarrett Garantano, when things start snowballing on him, looks a lot more like an elephant than a goldfish, and we saw that on full display on Saturday. Well, thank you, everybody, for subscribing to the show. Leave us a review. Leave us a five-star rating. It only helps the show. We've got a full week of content on this show, on The Athletic's website and app. If you don't already subscribe, change that. You can go to theathletic.com/grits. You can read all of Andy's work, my work, our entire team. We've got 400 writers from the West Coast to the UK covering soccer. And, of course, if you don't get enough of us on Mondays, check out the Andy Staples Show. You're there constantly covering college football at large. So, Andy, let's get into the awards for this week. The best game, we got to start at the top. Not a lot of late drama, but Alabama and Georgia. You know, with apologies to Arkansas and Ole Miss, it's amazing watching these two teams play. I referenced it, you know, a little bit last week on one of the later week shows, but it just looks like a different sport than most games. There's so much NFL talent on the field. These programs are on another level compared to everyone but Clemson and Ohio State, and that's just about it. Even though we didn't get the late season drama, you know, that first half, I mean, we basically got a mid-October playoff game. Great football. It's this sport at its best. And watching those games, God, it's just, it's incredible just to watch and see those two teams on the same field with each other.
Watch the way they tackle each other in those games. Mm-hmm. When you get those types of teams together where it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, when they play one another, they just hit so much harder. And it, every play, you feel like it means something. And look, Alabama kind of, they didn't run away with it, but they won fairly comfortably in the fourth quarter. And I was surprised by that. Given what we saw out of Alabama's defense against Ole Miss, I didn't think Alabama's defense would be able to play this well against Georgia's offense, but it did a great job. And meanwhile, we wondered who'd crack the code on Georgia's defense. Well, guess what? It's Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Mac Jones.
Yeah, do you think, are you setting off any alarms on Georgia's defense? I personally am not. I think Bama's just that good.
No,
I think
they've got speed. You get that many NFL receivers and you can score on anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I still think this is an elite, elite defense. I think Bama's offense is just that good. So your concern level on Georgia's defense?
Is not much at all. I think that was the first of at least two meetings. I think they're playing again in December. Unless Florida's defense gets considerably better, I'd still see Georgia win in the East.
Yeah. You know, looking at another award that I'll hand out this week, the Cinderella Award, Stetson Bennett's the fourth. Incredible story. One of the best stories in college football this year. It struck midnight on him. You know, I think he can win the East. He's good enough to win Georgia the East. But look back at all the teams that have beaten Alabama since they've sort of ramped up this offense and since sort of Tua took over. You have Joe Burrow, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Jarrett Stidham, Deshaun Watson. So what you're telling me is that unless you're Auburn, you need a number one pick in the NFL draft to beat Alabama. And, you know, it's you know, respect to Stetson Bennett, I don't know that he's going to be the number one pick in any drafts anytime soon. So he doesn't have the tools to score like you have to beat this Alabama team. He made some good throws. You know, he has a good line, good weapons, but he can't stretch the field, and he isn't accurate enough that every time Alabama gives you a crack, you got to take advantage of that. Great player, a great story, but I just think, you know, you've got to have a dynamic player to go toe-to-toe with Bama, and they didn't have that, and especially in the second half, man, it was really exposed.
So what do you do about that, David? Because they've tried Dewan Mathis, and he doesn't run the offense as well as Stetson Bennett runs it, but he has probably a bigger skill set. So do you put somebody like him in and hope that he gets better, or do you try JT Daniels? We don't really know what his health situation is because we haven't gotten to see him play yet, but do you try JT Daniels and let him play a little bit? And he's got five-star arm talent. We saw that. We've seen him play a full season as a starter at USC. Do you do that so that you're ready for meeting number two, or do you stick with Stetson Bennett? Because here's the thing. You still have to get to meeting number two. You still have to win the rest of your games, probably. I mean, we'll see with Florida, but you got to beat Florida, and if they don't lose again, you can't lose again.
Earmuffs for my Georgia listeners. Don't let Justin Fields transfer. That's
Stop
how you
it.
Do that. Listen,
you can't go back.
They're
to
not
the Justin
good enough.
Fields. It happened. It's over.
They don't have a guy. It's that simple. If you want to beat Alabama, you don't let Justin Fields transfer. They do not have a guy on this roster that is going to beat Alabama in the year 2020. It is not going to happen. Stetson Bennett's not going to do it. Dewan Mathis is not going to do it. And JT Daniels, even if he gets healthy, he hasn't taken enough reps. He's not going to do it. That's where Georgia is right now. They're a great team, a great roster. You have to have a playmaker at quarterback. Georgia doesn't have one on this roster. Georgia's, I think, good enough to get to the – well, maybe in theory get to the playoff. We'll see how it shakes out. They're probably going to finish with two losses.
They're not getting to the playoff. If they win the East and lose to Alabama, they're not getting the playoff.
Probably not. But they're not good enough to beat that upper class, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. They are the worst of those four teams. I liked them when they had Jamie Newman. I thought they had a shot to make a run. They don't have a playmaker at quarterback, and that's what it is. That's what it is right now. Well, Andy, the best team of the week. I'll let you start on this one. Where are you going? Who impressed you the most?
I was most impressed with Alabama. I mean, that was the question was, how good is this offense? And the answer is, it's really, really good. We had a feeling, but we wanted to see it against a premium defense, and that's what Georgia is. And they made it look easy against a defense that nobody makes it look easy against, except LSU last year. And oh, by the way, let me throw some numbers at you, David, because remember how we said nobody's ever going to top LSU's offense from last year?
I've heard that.
48.2 points a game, 7.9 yards a play, some crazy, crazy numbers. Crazy numbers. Alabama scoring 48.5 and has 8.3 yards per play. And, you know, normally we'd say, oh, well, it's early in the season. You can't really compare that. But remember, they're only playing conference games. So,
and they've already played Georgia. That's one of their four games.
So it actually is somewhat comparable. And yeah. I think that's pretty interesting. I don't know if Alabama can stay at this pace or if they'll even need to, because they'll be playing some teams that they don't need to score that much against. But there's a good chance the numbers that Mac Jones and his crew put up could compare very favorably to the ones that Joe Burrow and his crew put up.
Yeah. I think, time will tell. I think there's no question that Alabama has the receiver talent that's close to what we saw at LSU. I don't know if it's quite as good. I'm still not with you on the Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a good player. I don't know that he's Joe Burrow, but they've got so much around him. And
He's not Joe Burrow. He doesn't have to be.
He's thrown
Joe
from
Burrow.
A lot of clean pockets, and that is a huge help.
You know who else threw from a lot of clean pockets? Tua Tagovailoa. Worked out pretty well for him.
It's true.
He's not Joe Burrow, but you don't have to be Joe Burrow with this line and those weapons.
Yeah. And we're really slow playing Najee Harris on this too. We gave him a shout out. What was it, 152 against Georgia? Yeah. That's pretty good.
Very good.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
My best team, I'm going to go with the team that needed it. Shai Smith, legit star, budding star in this league. I'm going with South Carolina. Their first sort of win where you did something. You know, they rallied. They go down early to Auburn, get back and win that ball game. This is a plucky team. It's the sort of first win that makes you sit up and notice them, that South Carolina doesn't appear to be headed for the trash heap. But Andy, what do you make of Auburn coming off of that game?
It's a tough situation. They've got to figure out what to do about the quarterback situation, because they're not getting out of Bo Nix what he should be able to give them. I talked to Greg McElroy, who had that game, and you know, Greg's a former Alabama quarterback and knows a thing or two about playing the position. You know, went to a national title game and won one. He said Bo has got to stay in the pocket more often. And not just because, you know, he's not leaving the pocket always because of pressure. A lot of times he's just leaving because he wants to leave, even when it could be a clean pocket. And that's disrupting a lot of things. If you notice, they don't have much of a downfield passing game except throw a jump ball to Seth Williams. They hardly ever hit a receiver in stride. And that's just not going to work. Now, this offense tends to work best when you're running between the tackles. That's when you can get some wide open receivers. You can make some huge plays in the passing game because they have to bring that extra guy into the box. But they're not running well enough to justify that. You know, there's no Kerryon Johnson. And Tank Bigsby's a good player. But they're not doing what they did with Kerryon Johnson in 17 or with Trey Mason in 13, and it's not opening up the passing game. You know, you've got Anthony Schwartz there. He's the fastest guy in college football. But is he a threat to take the top off of the defense if they can't throw it to him?
Yeah, Doesn't look like it. Why do you feel like that's happening to Bo Nix? Do you feel like it's a happy feet thing? It's a him looking to run, and maybe he thinks it's there and it's not there? Is that something he's going to be able to fix as he gets a little more mature? What's your feel for that? I think you're right about that for sure.
It may be instinctual because, you know, against Kentucky, he didn't do that as much. And mm-hmm. and granted, South Carolina may have a little more talent on defense. And, you know, against Georgia, there's certainly a lot more talent on defense, and he did do it a lot. So it may just be a function of who they're playing. But they got to sit him down and say, look at when you do well and look at when you don't do well. And, like, the first pick to J.C. Horn, he's on his back foot, sidearm. And, like, there's no excuse to be that way on that play if you watch how that play went down. Now go to the touchdown pass to Eli Stove. He catches the ball. He's got a nice clean pocket. He sits in. He steps forward. He fires the ball. He hits Stove in stride. Touchdown. Like, that is what they need more of, and they're just not getting it from him. And there's really no threat of the bench because I don't think they have anybody behind him that they can go to.
Yeah. Well, looking at the best individual performance, Andy, we got to talk about the Hogs.
Yes, we do.
Grant Morgan and Hudson Clark are my two best individual performances. I don't think you can separate them. Morgan, 3 tackles for loss, a sack, returns an interception for a touchdown, 19 tackles. Hudson Clark.
Wait. There's more to it than that, though. He did all that with one arm.
With one arm.
Because he had a giant brace on one arm and he couldn't do anything. So there was a play late in the game where he almost intercepts a pass, and you're like, oh, well, I see why he couldn't do that, because he's only got really one working arm.
He has one arm.
And then, like, a few plays later, he does intercept it and returns it for a touchdown.
It's fantastic. Hudson Clark, walk-on from the Dallas area, former walk-on, 3 interceptions. You can't say enough about Barry Odom, you know, your front runner right now for the Broyles Award. But how do we feel, Andy, looking around at the SEC? Are the 3 best defenses Arkansas, Kentucky? I mean, are 3 best defenses Georgia, Arkansas, and Kentucky?
We have to look around a little more. But so far, yeah, I'd say so. I think Arkansas has been really good. And remember, they played without Bumper Poole on Saturday. You know, he's probably their best defensive player, and he wasn't even in the game. You know, they really, I can't say enough. And former South Carolina basketball coach, Dave Odom. Barry Odom.
Versatile.
Barry Odom has done a great job. Now, he probably should have never been fired at Missouri. I felt like he got a raw deal there. Sam Pittman picked him up very quickly. This particular situation against Ole Miss, I think Arkansas had a little bit of an advantage that other schools will not have, in that they had Lane Kiffin's former offensive coordinator on their staff, and Kendall Briles, the current Hogs offensive coordinator. And then, you know, Kendall's also the brother-in-law of Jeff Lebby, the current Ole Miss offensive coordinator. So Barry Odom can go to Kendall and say, what drives you crazy in this offense? Because you know it very well. And Kendall can say, I don't like it when you do this. I don't like it when you do this. I don't like it. And so it helps to create a game plan for that offense. But the thing is, if you look at them against Auburn, you look at them against Mississippi State, and even against Georgia, Arkansas's defense has had a great plan every game. They got out-talented against Georgia. But the teams that can't out-talent them, they're having no problem stopping them.
Versatile. I mean, it's almost like you see in the NFL, versatile. Every single week, doing different things every single week, you know, adjusting. And I'm really, you know, we've said, you know, we've kind of been slow playing Arkansas. Well, they're going to be a tough out, or they're going to, you know, push teams, but they're not quite good yet. I'm wondering if Arkansas might be kind of good. We'll see.
Who's your best individual
performance of the year?
Well, before I get to the best individual performance, I will say that one more thing about Arkansas. Our friend Ari Wasserman, who comes recruiting for us, likes to point out the 24/7 talent composite. And what that does is it measures the recruiting rankings of everybody on your roster right now. Arkansas is number 25 in the country. So conceivably they should be able to play with everybody except the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world. Like, they should be able to hang with those teams. And I think that's the part we're not getting, because they were so bad under Chad Morris. We assume they're, like, you know, number 70 in talent. No, they're number 25. And Sam Pittman is now maximizing that talent. So, like, when they go to A&M in a couple weeks, I think that could be a really interesting game. So, yeah. But let's go to my individual performance. I'm going to go with J.C. Horn, the cornerback from South Carolina. How Joe Horn managed to raise a corner, how a great receiver managed to raise a corner, I don't know. But
That's like an Auburn grad raising a son who goes to Alabama.
Exactly. But I tell you what, J.C. Horn was fantastic in that game because basically he was told, wherever Seth Williams goes, you go. And Seth Williams is tough to stop. But Horn had his first career pick. He was all over the field. He was just fantastic. And he was the best player on the field. He is in our draft guy, Dane Brugler's top 50 big board, and with good reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to dig into the worst team performance. And, Andy, we're on the same page here. We got to talk about the Vols. We touched on them a little bit at the top. You know, it was understandable, I think, that Tennessee was probably going to lose a game at some point this season to a team that they should beat, or a team that they are supposed to beat, team in the bottom half of the SEC, you know, at some point. This roster has improved, but it's still not quite good enough to just coast through the South Carolinas and the Kentuckys of the world. But to get punked like that, I think obviously unacceptable and poses some pretty serious questions about the program. You know you have issues when you just get dominated like that. I mean, there's no excuse. The second half of that game, Tennessee knows Kentucky's going to run the ball pretty much every snap, and they still average 5.7 yards a carry. You know, Jeremy Pruitt talked about the game, or after the game, about guys missing time, and that's true. They were dealt a tough hand with contact tracing, but not a lose at home by four scores to Kentucky hand. You talk to people around Tennessee, this is not far from the impact of the Georgia State loss. I think, you know, how they respond will be huge. I think if they can hang a little bit with Alabama next week, or at least not self-destruct like we've seen in the second half against Georgia, and then, of course, for 60 minutes against Kentucky. What do you make of where the Vols are at right now under Jeremy Pruitt and sort of the state of the program?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is a tough spot having to go into Alabama like this. It really is, because
bad timing.
You've got to put up a fight against them, and it's just the way Alabama's playing, that's going to be tough to do. And they will kill you if you make mistakes. Tennessee has made quite a few. Like, even when they beat South Carolina, that wasn't a clean game. You know, they made fewer mistakes than the Gamecocks, but on that particular night, that wasn't saying much. So they've got to get the quarterback situation figured out. And I don't know if that's something you can do in a week, and it's certainly not something you can do when you're planning on playing the team they're about to play. But it's... they have to figure out post-Alabama, because I'm just writing off the Alabama game as a game they're not going to have a chance to win. But post-Alabama, when they get back to games that they can win, they have got to give themselves a chance, because they took themselves out of that game on Saturday. Think about Kentucky. Kentucky's not built to come back. They're not built to do much, but they are built to sit on a lead. And so if you spot them 14 points on pick sixes, they are going to sit on that lead. So that's the part that Tennessee has got to be able to – don't give the other team that big of an advantage. You've got to help yourself a little bit. So they've got to either have the come to Jesus quarterback moment and figure out, you know, is Jarrett Garantano the guy, or do you say we're going to go with somebody else, and even if he struggles, we're going to stick with him because we got to pick somebody, or do you say we're going to fix the offense so that whichever one of these guys we got to use, we can use them? Because I think that's part of the problem is they felt like they can't, like that it's a monumental undertaking to change quarterbacks. It shouldn't have to be that hard. Because again, what if your guy got hurt?
Yeah.
You need to be capable of bringing another guy in and being able to run most of your offense. I remember having this conversation with Dabo Swinney, it was like 7 or 8 years ago. And it was basically, he said he used to get mad because the quarterbacks couldn't do all the things he needed them to do. And then he realized, I don't need to be mad about this. I just need to change things so that they can do it when they get in here from high school and make it easy for them. And seems like a pretty sound philosophy.
Yeah, I think that's where Tennessee is at right now, because it's, listen, Jarrett Garantano is who he is. He is, you know, he's been kind of the same guy for the last 3 years. We haven't seen a lot of progression. Whatever. That is what it is. That's one guy. But if you're in year three of establishing your program and you have a quarterback that throws pick sixes on consecutive drives, and the next guy you bring in, the first ball he throws is picked off, and you have to go back to the first guy, that's an indictment of your quarterback development evaluation. If you don't have a guy on your roster that you can even say, hey, settle us down, and you don't have that, that is, I mean, it's an indictment of where the program is right now at the most important position on the field.
And also, you need to have some kind of either package or sub-package that if it all goes wrong, you can bring a young guy in and he can play. Like,
mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be that hard. You shouldn't have to have a fourth-year starter to run your offense. That's all there is to it. I mean, everybody else in college football has already figured this out. Everybody else, literally. So that's one, and they've done a good job at Tennessee based on, you know, if you think about where they were when they got there. But this particular piece needs to get fixed because it's what's holding them back.
Yeah. Garantano struggling is on him, but the fact that they don't have an answer when they try to go answer that question and all their answers are bad, I mean, that's on literally everything else in the program. That is a problem.
Oh, can we give a shout out for this week's show. Oh no, I gotta give a shout out, David.
Please do.
One shout.
Please do.
So I had a, because we didn't do this here on this one either. I had a Texas A&M fan mad at me because of my game wrap up podcast where we talk about all the games in the country. I didn't mention the Aggies beating Mississippi State, and you notice we didn't mention them very much either. Well, guess what? We didn't mention them because it was the most boring game of the weekend. And that sounds like an insult, but guess, you know, when you think about it, it's actually a compliment to Texas A&M. They were supposed to win that game. They were supposed to win that game comfortably, and they did. Their offensive line played well. Even without Bobby Brown, their defensive line played very well. I really like Jaden Peavy and DeMarvin Leal. I thought they played really well on Saturday. So I think the fact that we're not saying much, like, if you're an Aggies fan, I can understand you're not used to this. Like, we don't talk about Alabama when they roll Missouri either. It's like, hey, Alabama roll Missouri. Yeah, whatever. Okay, that was boring. You guys beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State can't score. And you beat them by a nice, comfortable margin. That is progress in College Station. So be very, very happy, Texas A&M fans, that we're not talking about you right now. And the next time we do talk about you will be probably because you've won a big game, if this is how things are going. Although, I will say, your next game against Arkansas, intriguing for many, many reasons. So we'll probably talk quite a bit about that.
Andy Staples talking about Aggies discontent over the respect of their team. Surely you jest. I have never heard an A&M fan frustrated over the perception of their team. That's a new one for me.
I know. They're usually so level-headed and you know, have fairly realistic expectations about everything.
They're always like, you know what? 9 wins is going to be fantastic this year. We're going to get the proper amount of respect. We're going to be sitting there, that 18-22 range. That's our home. That's the Aggies that I know. I don't know who this joker you ran into was, but surely he's just an outlier.
Must be, must be. Well, he should be happy, though, because I do feel like they're on the right path. Their trajectory feels pretty good.
Looks a lot better than it did when they faced off against Alabama, and Alabama doing what they did to Georgia's got to make the Aggies feel a little bit better too.
Right. I do look at that Alabama loss for Texas A&M in a new light, because they did essentially they didn't do the same thing to Georgia, but they're going to be that tough on everybody. So A&M, I'm looking at you slightly differently this week, and listen, that means you can win every game on the rest of your schedule. Doesn't mean you will, but it means they can.
Absolutely. Well, that'll do it for the Monday edition of Football and Grits. For Andy Staples, I am David Ubben. Again, leave us a review. Check out our stuff on The Athletic and the rest of our college football staff. Check out the Andy Staples Show as well. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Make sure to tell a friend, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Aaron Suttles will take you inside the Tide, ask or answer your questions. So make sure to reach out to him if you want to know some things about the SEC. So thanks again for listening. We'll see you guys again the rest of this week.